Welcome to the W5BSA repeater.
BL-123. Okay, good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. And this is net number 1640, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday. Actually, it's net 1641, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, December the 9th. 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, December the 10th, 2025 at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston. Also, the 443.325 repeater in Katy, they both have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there's the 146.7 repeater downtown, and it's networked repeaters. And then there's the AMSAT DMR talk group, 98006. YSF Fusion is at 11689. And the OSTAR node is at 572.580 when those connections are working. And then there's EchoLink, which is at star AMSAT star. And I will now take any check-ins.
Kilo Delta 5, Alpha Fox, Victoria, KD5P2J.
Okay, very good, Herbert. KD5PQJ over there in West Houston. We got a good signal on you this evening. Anybody else out there? Okay, well, we're going to start, as we usually do, with a little bit of information from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And we got an update from Walter, K5WH. And he says it looks like we still have two balloons that are still flying today. John's AB5SF has his AB5SF-163 still cruising high in the sky. He says it's been around the planet now for 200 days, and we're not even sure exactly how many times around. I think they lost count after 7. So they figure it's probably been around the world like 8 or 9 times by now. And he says John also put another up a couple months ago with the help of some NASA interns as a build and launch project. And that seemed to go silent for several days at a time. And then it surprises us again by showing up again with another transmission. That was from KE5CWE. And he says we still have two more trackers that are built up and ready to launch, pending some more promising weather, blue skies, and no winds. So we have had a lot of winds lately. And he says it could happen over the next few days. So we'll be paying close attention because he says WV5Y-15 should be one of those packages. So we'll be watching intently and see what happens. And that comes from Walter, K5WH. Of course, the South Texas Balloon Launch Team does hold their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. And that's at 4:30 p.m. here local. And then they have a meeting on the internet. And that takes place at 8 p.m., and that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom. And, of course, that's a Zoom meeting. So anybody can connect and check in on the goings-on there of the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And we appreciate that coming from Walter, K5WH. Okay, let's see, we're going to switch gears over here to the AMSAT News Service Bulletin, and this is ANS Bulletin number 334 from this week's editor, Frank Kanoskis, N1UW. The AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. The news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So if you have any to add, please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins if you'd like to just see it showing up in your inbox. And that's via the ANS list. And to join the ANS list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. And we'll remind everybody that you can call and make a quick phone check into the net by calling 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message. That's to WV5Y or West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And I think the last message we got was from Indoff, and that was back around Halloween or so. And let's see, there's also the email, and that's wv5y@comcast.net. Registration is open for the 2025-2026 European AstroPi Challenge. Educators, do you want to send your students computer programs to space with the European AstroPi Challenge? The AstroPi Mission Zero and Mission Space Lab are now officially open for the 2025-2026 Challenge. Okay, let's see here. The AstroPi is a ESA education project run in collaboration with the Raspberry Pi Foundation and delivered nationally by the European Space Education Resource Offices.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, let's see here. We've got the KSLV-2 mission is deploying 13 satellites, including new amateur radio payloads. and that the South Korean recorded another significant achievement in its growing domestic space program with the successful nighttime launch of the Korean Space Launch Vehicle 2, or the KSLV-2, also known as NURI, from the Naro Space Center in Goheung, South Korea.
CL-123.
Liftoff occurred at 1613 UTC on November 26, 2025, after a brief delay caused by an abnormal pressure sensor signal in the rocket's umbilical system. After the anomaly was resolved, NURI ascended smoothly and became South Korea's first orbital launch conducted during nighttime operations. The vehicle performed nominally throughout ascent, completed stage separations on schedule, and surpassing the 500-kilometer mark roughly 7 minutes after liftoff. Orbit insertion occurred approximately 12 minutes into the flight, followed 1 minute later by the deployment of CAS-500-3, a 500-kilogram scientific satellite designed for highly light-sensitive Earth observation missions. Korea Aerospace Administration, or CASA, officials confirmed multiple ground station contacts with CAS-500-3 during its first day on orbit, including passes over the King Sejong Station in Antarctica. Following the primary payload, NURI deployed 12 CubeSats, 9 of which operate in the amateur UHF bands. Of these, 3 satellites were fully IARU coordinated. The twin Snuglight 3 CubeSats, which consist of HANA on 436.460 MHz and DURI on 436.788 MHz, developed by Seoul National University, each carry a 9600 BTS GMSK AX.25 digipeater, UHF beacons, and an S-band imaging payload at 2405 MHz. These spacecraft support amateur radio training, GPSRO technology demonstrations, and the formation flying experiments. The third coordinated payload, Spirone, which is on 436.650 MHz / 2425.100 MHz from Sejong University, combines an environmental mission to detect marine plastic with a GMSK beacon and an S-band transponder intended for amateur radio experimentation. Six additional CubeSats on the mission also used amateur band downlinks, but were not coordinated through the IARU. These include JAC-3, JAC-4, both on 436.300 MHz, B-1000 on 436.500 MHz, PERSAT-1 on 437.125 MHz, K-HERO on 437.165 MHz, and INHA-ROSAT, and that's on 437.665 MHz. While uncoordinated, they remain of interest to amateur radio satellite observers, particularly during early beacon activity and commissioning efforts as teams work to establish the first contacts. This launch also reflects South Korea's broader strategy of strengthening its commercial aerospace ecosystem. For the first time, primary launch operation responsibility was handled by Hanwha Aerospace, marking a transition toward greater private sector involvement in national space access. Despite a 2.5-year gap since the previous Nuri flight, Hanwha and its partners maintained launch readiness and executed the mission successfully, an encouraging sign for Korea's long-term space industry development. NASA plans at least two additional Nuri launches through 2027 with the goal of annual flights thereafter and ultimately develop a generation booster capable of heavier payloads and deep space missions. For the amateur satellite community worldwide, the KSLV-2 program's demonstrated ability to deploy large numbers of small spacecraft, including coordinated amateur payloads, is a promising development, expanding future rideshare opportunities and adding new signals to monitor across UHF and S-band. Okay, you can read the full article on that one, and that's over at www.koreaherald.com/article/10624440 and Libra Space Discussion at community.libra.space/KSLV-2-CAS500-3-mission-2025-11-26-16-13-UTC/1404. And of course, Bruce has put these links if anybody is interested in checking any of them out. They're up there at amsatnet.com, and you can just click on the link there on the front page to get to the document, and then he's just got all the links right there in this week's document. So appreciate that from Bruce. Okay, we want to thank Khan Hyung Woo, Korea Herald, and the Libra Space Community for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. And yes, we are up to date. We got on to this week's ANS bulletin. I guess the last one that showed up in the inbox there this week wasn't this week's, but we discovered real fast that we were reading duplicate material. So this week's ANS editor is actually Mitch Ehrenstoff. So we're glad to be hearing that from him. And so we appreciate getting that straightened out. And, of course, that's coming from 80HJ. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Well, we're just a little bit past quarter past the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby and take a look around and see who we've had checking in here through some of our alternate means. Okay, let's see here. We've got Charlie, K5BNG, over in West Houston, and we checked him, he checked connected via the landline earlier today, so we appreciate hearing from Charlie on the phone line there. And we got Dale, WD0AKO. He's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we appreciate him doing that for us. We've had to use it once or twice. And then, of course, there's Vern, WA0RCR, out there in Wentzville, Missouri. He transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band there on the weekend.
DL-123.
Okay, we've also got Kai N6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California. And he's one of our podcast listeners, and he calls and checks in the net there. So we appreciate that. Okay, we've got a hello over there from Clay, KG4OZW. So I want to say hello to him, and he's over there on the Internet Relay chat system. So we want to say hello to Ken, AK0A, and Brian, KG4WIJ. We're probably over there with Clay is Rachy, so we want to say hi to Rachy. And then we have Renee, NZ9T, Bob, K8WX, and W8QHV checked in. Okay, from EchoLink, we want to say hello to Steve, K85YFC. Hope he's having a good evening this evening. Hello to Mitch, 80HJ, of course, this week's editor. And he's up there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, being an editor is not enough for Mitch. He also does a net for AMSAT that takes place on DMR on Wednesday nights. And so that takes place at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. And that's on the AMSAT DMR talk group 98006 or YSF Fusion is 11689. So we appreciate Mitch doing the Wednesday night DMR, AMSAT talk group, or net. So if you want to make any grid squares available, you're going to be doing any roving, anything like that, you might check into that net and let those guys know. And that will help you increase your audience so you can make some good contacts there from those rare grid squares. Okay, hello to Andrew, KC5LWY, down there in Galveston. Hope he's having a good evening this evening, and hopefully there's not too much fog like there was over the weekend. We've got Damien, AG9P. He's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin, and of course he's been with us for many years. Hello to Damien. We got Bruce, KK5VO, and of course he's our webmaster, and he's got information up there on our website, amsatnet.com. If you would like to get certificates or awards for making satellite contacts, well, he's got the information on there on how you can do that. Okay, we've got J0IUV. Hello to Willie, KD5CEV. I hope you're doing good, Willie. It's been a while. Hey, I found a cassette tape in one of my really old little, like, Sony Walkman. Well, it was a Radio Shack, but it had some footage, audio of Willie talking on the repeater way back years and years ago. I'll have to see if I can dig that up so I can give you a sample there, Willie. Let's see, we have Indoff, N6UTC, he's out there in Long Beach, California, and we've got Bob, K9OIM, good evening. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT net. And International Space Station deployment added 5 new education-focused amateur radio missions. 7 satellites were deployed from the International Space Station on December the 2nd, 2025, with release times spanning 810 UTC to 950 UTC in 3 batches using the Voyager Space NanoRacks CubeSat Deployer System, or they call it the NRCSD. I.E., the CubeSat PES dispenser. Okay, 5 of the deployed spacecraft, SilverSat, RockSat, Content Cube, EagleSat 2, and Forest Promeneo operate on amateur radio frequencies and represent a broad collection of university, student-led, and educational missions. Satnog stations scheduled more than 700 observations during the first 24 hours as the stations drifted away from the ISS to form their initial orbits, requiring careful Doppler evaluation and coordinating tracking during the early identification phase. The first release at 0810 UTC deployed the 6U duplex satellite, which does not carry an amateur radio payload. The second deployment window at 820 UTC released 4 1U spacecraft, SilverSat, RockSat, that's ROK-SAT, Content Cube, and CU Alpha. Of these, CU-Alpha operates outside the amateur bands using LoRa at 915 MHz. The final release at 0950 UTC deployed the 2 3U amateur missions, EagleSat 2 and Forest Promeneo, completing the NRC SD-29 sequence. SilverSat, a 1U open source CubeSat designed to inspire student interest in space science and engineering, was the first amateur satellite from NRC SD-29 to be positively heard on orbit. The spacecraft automatically relays images and telemetry to its ground network, which posts them to social media platforms whenever pass is received. European stations reported early carrier traces shortly after deployment, and the first confirmed CW beacon, sent at 16 words per minute under the call sign WP2XGW, was received at approximately 1446 UTC. SilverSat uses a UHF turnstile antenna oriented perpendicular to its magnetically stabilized axis, producing left-hand circular polarization reception for most northern observers. The 0820 UTC deployment batch also included RokeSat, a Content Cube, and a 1U CubeSat from Cornell University carrying a brief-duration light sail experiment designed by students at the Space Systems Design Studio. The sail will be released during a later activation sequence following the CubeSat's deployment and carries several ChipSat flight computers intended to transmit LoRa telemetry in the 70-centimeter amateur band during a short operational period. Because of the timing of the sales release depends on mission conditions, additional details about the project and its chipset technology are available at alphacubesat.cornell.edu. Telemetry downlinks for this group include 435.425 MHz for RockSat, 9600 baud FSK, 437.020 MHz for Content Cube, it's 9600 GMSK, and 437.400 MHz for the chipsets, which may remain active only for hours to a few days before re-entry.
DL-123.
The 2-3U satellites, EagleSat 2 and Forest Pomeneo, completed the deployments at 0950 UTC. EagleSat 2, developed by undergraduate students at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, carries two scientific experiments, the cosmic ray payload, designed to track high-energy particle interactions across three observation phases, and the memory degradation experiment, which compares radiation-induced error rates in several CMOS memory technologies. EagleSat 2 transmits on 437.165 MHz using 19202-GFSK. 4S Pomeneo supports a public outreach mission based on an interactive robotic arm game that operates autonomously or under real-time command during ground passes, transmitting LoRa telemetry on 437.400 MHz. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. As of the first day of operations, SatMog's contributors reported active tracking of all five amateur satellites using preliminary TLEs derived from ISS deployment vectors. With the objects initially clustered closely together, early identification required coordinated Doppler measurements and community-supported observation campaigns. As tracking continues to refine and the satellites separate further, operators can expect more reliable beacon reception and additional opportunities for amateur participation as the missions begin their operational phases. Okay, you can read the entire NRC FD-29 ISS satellite deployment Libra space discussion, and that's over at community.libra.space/t/nrcfd29-iss-satellites-deployment-2025-12-02-08-28-UTC/14045. And we want to thank AmSat Francophone and the Libra Space community for that information. This is Marty WV5Y with the Houston AmSat Net. All right, we're just a couple minutes here past the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick standby and see if we have any more check-ins. So any other check-ins to the Houston AmSat Net, come now. okay, there's only a few weeks left to get your coin for this year. You can celebrate the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight and help support golf and the Fox Plus projects. Annual memberships start at only $120. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, all right, looks like we're going to get a lowdown here about some of the Series 30 SSTV from the ISS that they had issues with. So, that's going to be some good info. And what happened was after they suffered issues and configuration issues and radio issues over on the International Space Station, ARIS moved the Series 30 SSTV transmissions to RS-38S. New RF satellite, that's doing SSTV, and that was, of course, after they had an equipment issue.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, amateur radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS, has released final scheduling details for the Series 30 Slow Scan Television Retransmission Event, which will take place using the RS-38S satellite rather than the International Space Station. Transmissions are scheduled to begin on the 5th of December at 0001 UTC, which is the 4th of December at 7:01 p.m. Eastern Time. And continue through the 13th of December at 2359 UTC. So we still have a few days left. The images will be broadcast from RS-38S, also known as Vizard-Medio, and listed under NORAD 57189. And that's on a downlink of 437.825 megahertz with normal Doppler adjustments. Each image will be sent in robot 36 mode, which is approximately 36 seconds, followed by a silence period of 2 or 3 minutes. Operators may upload their received images to the ARIS SSTV gallery to obtain a new Series 30-1 certificate tailored for the RS-38S event. The satellite can be monitored on amsat.org/status. Under its Vizard-Medio entry, and the path prediction tools are available at amsat.org/path-prediction for those planning reception attempts. The RS-38S retransmission provides amateurs an opportunity to receive all 12 Series 30 images after the ISS-based event in November was interrupted by a hardware issue. ARIS announced on the 29th of November that the RS-38S spacecraft would transmit the same Series 30 imagery during the period of 5 to 13 of December, offering a complete replacement opportunity. This announcement was well received by participants who were unable to capture images during the short ISS transmission window on the 12th of November. It only operated for part of one day, so the people who were jumped in there right at the beginning got some pictures, but nobody else did. As with previous SSTV events, stations may submit their best frames to the ARIS gallery and request corresponding certificates. The retransmission preserves the commemorative nature of Series 30 while operating entirely independent of ISS hardware. And ARIS encourages operators worldwide to monitor its official channels for updates throughout the event period. And, of course, the Series 30 was, I think, celebrating scouting and amateur radio.
DL-123.
Satellite-based activity follows a series of technical difficulties that prevented completion of the original Series 30 event aboard the International Space Station. The ISS transmissions began on the 12th of November with approximately 2 hours of successful downlink activity, during which several stations worldwide decoded and uploaded clean images. Soon after, SSTV activity on 145.800 MHz FM abruptly stopped, prompting ARIS to acknowledge the outage and begin checking the system status with operation teams on the ground. Crew schedules and limited immediate access to the service module hardware initially slowed the troubleshooting process. Operators monitored the downlink throughout the day, but no additional frames were received. ARIS provided real-time updates confirming the outage and advising listeners that further checks were underway. And, of course, that was coming from one of the Kenwood TMD-710s. Okay, by the 15th of November, ARIS reported the SSTV system had remained offline since the initial interruption that had ongoing solar activity added complexity to assessments of the service module equipment. And U.S. teams awaited additional information, and only the early decodes from the opening hours of the event appeared in the official SSTV gallery. ARIS thanked operators for their continued patience and certificates would still be issued for the initial images. Amateur radio stations worldwide continued to submit signal reports, monitor each ISS pass in hopes of renewed activity. Despite broad interest, no additional transmissions were detected. ARIS stated it would continue providing updates as new information became available. Then, on the next day, on the 16th of November, after 3 days of analysis, ARIS confirmed that the ISS-based Series 30 event could not continue. The Kenwood D710GA transceiver in the Zvezda service module, which supports SSTV operations, appeared to have failed and was taken offline for further review. ARIS reported that the radio functioned normally for approximately 2 hours before the issue occurred, ending downlink activity for the remainder of the planned 12 through 20 November window. Operators who received images early in the event were encouraged to upload their frames before the submission deadline to qualify for Series 30 certificates. ARIS emphasized that those certificates would still be honored despite the shortened schedule. and that no additional transmissions were expected until testing of the affected hardware could be completed. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. And then they did a follow-on update on the 21st of November, clarified the status of the service module radio system. ARRIS reported that the faulty Kenwood D710GA had been replaced with the onboard spare Kenwood D710E, a European version, which is now supporting scheduled Russian school contacts and required backup communications. Additional in-orbit testing of the original D710GA is planned to determine the cause of the failure and evaluate when APRS or SSTB capabilities might be restored. ARRIS also confirmed that the Columbus module radio systems, including the crossband FM repeater and ham TV equipment, continue to operate normally. Restoration of SSTV service from the ISS will depend on the results of continued hardware assessments. Until those evaluations are complete, ISS-based SSTV remains offline, and the RS-38S retransmission provides the primary means for operators to receive the full Series 30 imagery. And I did listen a day or two ago on 145.825 for a satellite pass of the ISS, rather ISS pass, and yes, there was no package taking place. And then I switched over to the downlink on the FM repeater, and yes, there were voices coming down, so at least my satellite tracking program and stuff had the right caps and times and everything. Okay, we want to thank ARRIS or the amateur radio on the International Space Station for that information, and we appreciate that update on the amateur radio on the International Space Station and the new SSTV images moved over to the new satellite, the RS-38S, and that's on 437.825 megahertz in Robot 36. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Oh, we've got the list. Okay, I'm going to have to start reading faster. The Gridmaster map satellite top 100 rover ranking for December 2025. December 2025 rankings for the top 100 rovers being mixed low Earth orbit, medium Earth orbit, and geostationary in the satellite operations as determined by at Gridmaster map on X has been released. The ranking is determined by the number of grids and DXCC entities activated, taking into account only those grids where a minimum number of QSOs logged on the gridmaster.fr website have been validated by a third party. Grid numbers do not directly reflect the exact number of activations. Satellite operators are encouraged to upload their logbook of the world satellite contacts to Gridmaster FR in order to provide more accurate data. All right, we still have in top position number one, we've got MD9M. Congratulations. Okay, then we've got NJ7H, UT1FG, KA9KRO. Hey, it's nice to see somebody from Ukraine up there in the third spot. We've got N5UC, F5VMJ, DL6AP, WI7P, K5ZM, DP0POL, OE3SEU, WY7AA, and N6UA. HA3FOK, LU5ILA, W5PFG, there's Andrew, we've got AK8CW, N9IP, AD0DX, and then right next to them is AD0HJ, there's Mitch, in position 20. We have DL2GRC, N4AKV, MD0C, WD9EWK in 24, and then BA1PK from China in position 25. All right, we've got KX9X, KG5CCI, DJ8MS, KN5BO, OM4AUC, KABL, KE4AL, KB5FHK, AC0RA, PA3GAN, KI0KB, F4BKV, KI7UNJ, VA3VGR, JO2ASQ, VE3HLS, BG7QIW, HJ5LVR, LA9XGA, and VK5DG.
DL123.
We've got N7AGF, K7TAB, DF2ET, JL3RNZ, and KE0WPA. Okay, starting with the second half, we've got KE0PBR, WD5GRW, XE3DX, WGC, LU7JVE, JK2XXK, PR8KW, EB1AO, XE1EP, EA4NF, N6DNM, W8LR, W1AW, 63, we've got KI7QEK, SM3NRY, KE7AJ, F4DXV, B1CWJ, Ms. Patrick, AA5PK, in position number 69. Okay, we've got 87DB, KM4LAO, M1DDB, HB9GWJ, VA7LM, and N8RO. And then we've got SB5XFD, DL4EA, N6UTC, there's NDOF in position number 78, N4UFO, VE7BTN, BT2AD, VE1VOX, AA8CH, KB2YSI, KI7UTX, UXC, sorry, KAF5CC, KJ7NBY, BI1MHK, PT7BM, FG8OJ, UO0W, BG5CZD. BU4CEV, W8TMB, N4DCW, WA9JBQ, BA7AFK, VE3GOP, JM1CAX, and in position 100, we have DF8BR. Okay, we want to thank @GridmasterMap for that information. Okay, you can still get your AMSAT removed before flight key tags, and they are the real thing. They're lovely red with white embroidered lettering and logo. Say AMSAT on one side, removed before flight on the other side. Your $20 donation does help fly a Fox Plus satellite, and it does include first class postage, but sorry, it's only available for U.S. addresses. You can order today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, looks like Andrew 55 LWI had to sign out a little bit early, but he said to pass along a hello to everyone, so we're doing that for him there. So hello to everyone from Andrew, KC5 LWI. Two line elements for TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. So it's the weekly file that you download from the internet, and it keeps all the satellites in the proper places in your satellite tracking program. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files are posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources, and we've got a couple of new ones. This week they've been added to the AMSAT TLE bulletin, and that's Spirone, NORAD catalog ID 66657, and AK-HERO, which is NORAD catalog ID 66660. And we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Hey, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. Okay, if you're interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador, well, what AMSAT ambassadors do, they provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, AmFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. So you can go to www.amsat.org/ambassador, and you can get information from Bo Lowry at W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program. If you think a 75-minute presentation on working the easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event, then you can email Clint at k6lcsclint@gmail.com or give him a call at 909-999-7287. He's never given the exact same show twice, and each of his 150-plus presentations so far are customized and tailored to his audiences. Right, if you'd like to fly the colors on your own grid expedition, you can get an Amtrak car flag and other stuff from our Zazzle store. When you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And, of course, the URL for that, it's over at www.zazzle.com/store/AMSAT_gear. Alright, it's kind of neat that for the first time in its 25-year history, the International Space Station had all 8 of its docking ports occupied by Northrop Grumman's Cygnus cargo spacecraft on the Unity module and visiting spacecraft, including 2 Space Dragons, JAXA's HTX-1, Cygnus XL, 2 Soyuz cruise vehicles, and the Progress 92 and 93 cargo ships. So the ISS has been busy lately. OK, Okay, if you're interested in joining AMSAT, you can go to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, you can get membership to a society, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Students enrolled and at least half-time status in school are eligible for free membership to the age of 25. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. Okay, we want to say thanks to this week's ANS editor, Mitch Ehrenstorf, AD0HJ, and that's MAHRENSTORFF at AMSAT.org. And stay safe out there. Hope everybody is successful getting ready for the holidays. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So play with those radios. Make lots of satellite contacts from Andy, W5ACM. From Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y, in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.